Friends, the psalmist calls you today, whoever you are, to praise the name of the Lord. Hear his words now, no matter your influence, your age, your position in life's pecking order. Psalm 148. Kings of the earth and all nations, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and maidens together, those weary with age and children alike, praise the name of the Lord, whoever you are. For his name alone is exalted. His majesty is above earth and heaven. Please be seated. Well, friends, I'd invite you to stand now and join in singing our first hymn, Ye Servants of God, Your Master Proclaim. Please be seated. A very warm welcome to you this morning here at the beautiful and historic Scots Church building, and welcome too if you're joining us online via live streaming. It's wonderful to have lots of new faces with us this morning, and a special welcome if you're visiting. Now, if you are new to Scots, please take a moment to introduce yourself on the card. Hopefully you got one on the way in, or otherwise you might find one in the seat near where you're sitting. We would love to hear from you, particularly if you've just moved to Melbourne perhaps, and you're looking for a church family to become part of. So let us know your details and we'll be in touch during the week. And a special welcome to stay for morning tea after the service. We gather in the mezzanine level of the Westpac building immediately behind me, and you can get there through the door over on my left. Exciting news, next Sunday we are launching a new senior primary Sunday school class led by Bawanika Wirashina. Denise will continue her junior high group, and we'd love you to put the word around to kids in those age groups to come and join us for some great fun and learning about the Bible together. As time goes by, we want to extend our age group spread, and so if you know any kids who'd be interested, please let them know and ask them to get in touch. Finally, our Foundation Day service is coming up in 2 weeks' time, February 12th, and that should be a great morning, so please plan to be here for that. We're going to sing again. This morning our theme is all about the tongue and the trouble it can get us into, but this song is a great prayer for 1,000 tongues to sing our Redeemer's praise. So let's join in singing it together. Please be seated. And I'd invite you to join me in prayer. Merciful Father, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, as we sing your praises today, we are mindful of your grace, that we as willful rebels with rebel hearts, that we with mixed motives in our every noble action, that we who pour out your praises on a Sunday so easily curse one another on a Monday with the same tongue, even as fellow creatures made in your image. We acknowledge in this week of reflection on our national heritage that we are a generation that has gained much wealth from our forebears, sometimes unjustly at the expense of others. And we pray that as we see those fanning division into flame over these issues, that we as your people might be a people above all whose lips seek to make peace and whose actions pursue justice and mercy. Move in us by your spirit of wisdom, we pray. Transform our hearts so that both our lips and our lives might declare your praise. We ask in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. If you are a regular part of our Scots Church family, there'll be an opportunity to contribute financially during the next hymn. If you're visiting, though, please be a guest and just pass the plate by as it comes to your row. You're very welcome just to be here and enjoy our hospitality. The hymn is When I Needed a Neighbour. When I Need a Neighbour. Please stand.
Thank you. hearts and minds in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we praise and give you thanks, for you are the God of all seasons, all grace and all comfort. We thank you for the gift of the summer season, and in this month alone, many go on holidays with families and friends, and thank you for the blessings of safe holidays and returns. Many are busy tidying up their homes or gardens, making New Year's resolutions, enjoying the Australian Open tennis tournament, and participating in several activities during Australia Day. Lord God, thank you for all these blessings. Help us to acknowledge you in everything we do for your glory. We remember those who suffered this summer, especially those who are unemployed, homeless, fear for the future, unwell due to illness or accidents, losing their loved ones, disoriented and helpless. We remember those who are in financial trouble, feel abandoned by their loved ones or friends, and those who are offended and hurt because of our carelessness or wild tongues. Lord, we admit that our sins are great, but your love is greater. Forgive us and help us to forgive one another. God of love and life, we pray that you will strengthen your suffering people in us and help them in us to rely on and trust Jesus and be strengthened by the words of Jesus who said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace in this world. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. Lord Jesus, thank you for the word that gives us strength, courage, protection, transformation and restoration, and help us to acknowledge you in every season and season of our lives with a grateful heart and obedience to your word. May we embody your compassion, responding to the suffering of our neighbors, families, friends, and even strangers with love and generosity. We pray for those in our church and local communities. We pray that as schools resume tomorrow, we pray for the teachers and students, whether prep, primary, high school, or university students. We ask for your blessings, wisdom, guidance, and protection as they begin with new term, new teachers or lecturers, and new friends. We ask that you would go before them, O Lord, and help them to settle well. We pray for the children who attend school for the first time, and thank you for helping them make friends, enjoy their activities at school, and build relationship with their teachers and new friends, and bless their parents or grandparents and carers for your grace, wisdom, and courage to trust in the one who is the strength and refuge and ever-present help in trouble to those who ever believed in Jesus. And we ask that you would protect all the students against bullying, low self-esteem, discrimination, fear, loneliness, and political agendas contrary to the word of God. Lord of the church, we pray for our church and our church activities which started this February. Guide and bless all our church leaders and volunteers and those who lead Bible studies and Sunday school teachers. We remember the new primary school class led by Buanika Wirasina and the junior high school group led by Denise Sherman, that you would fill them with your spirit and power to enable them to lead each of the Sunday school children to Jesus Christ. And we ask that you would bless and strengthen the prayer convener, Lewis Campbell, pastoral care convener, Robert Lowe, the Scott City team and congregation, and the joint mission team leaders and volunteers. We thank God for our church leaders and volunteers for their love, passion, and willingness to serve the Lord and the body of Christ in this place and at Flemington Mission and beyond. May many souls come to know Christ and receive salvation through the faith and actions of our church leaders, volunteers, and the body of Christ in this place and beyond. Bless them with courage, confidence, protection, knowledge, and understanding of your will and for your glory. We pray for our country, Australia, for our political leaders, national and state, that you would bless and give them wisdom, courage, and insight to do what is right in your sight, to bring peace and reconciliation. We pray for the people of Australia and the body of Christ in our country, that you would help us to replace fear with faith and despair with hope in Christ Jesus, and bless our country with your peace, healing, and unity, we pray. Generous and gracious God, in glad thanksgiving for your goodness, we offer you our tithes and offerings, and we pray for the power to offer and present our very selves to you, a living sacrifice dedicated and fit for your acceptance. We ask all these things in your precious name, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
The first reading today is from the book of Proverbs, chapter 15, a selection of verses. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouths of fools pour out folly. A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. The lips of the wise spread knowledge, not so the hearts of fools. A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention. The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. May the Lord bring us understanding to the reading of his scriptures. Our New Testament reading comes from the book of James, chapter 3, verses 1 to 18. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits in the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Writer. Please join me and pray before we look at God's word together. Lord and Father, there are words here this morning that each of us need to hear and take to heart. So we pray indeed that you would speak to us by your word and work in our hearts by your spirit, that we might truly hear. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. My very clever friend Lee is a bioscientist who's been working the last few years on mine site rehabilitation, and particularly the problem of desalinating the large bodies of water that mining seems to leave behind. To be honest, it's a problem I didn't even know existed until Lee and his friends solved it. And now their company, Valerion, delivers what they call solar biotech solutions for generating post-mining economic activity from saline-filled water voids. They do it with microalgae that converts sunlight and carbon dioxide into high-protein biomass and oxygen. And solar pumps feed the clean water into greenhouses that are fertilised by the algae and produce huge crops of top-grade tomatoes. Absolutely stunning transformation from salt lake to fresh fruit. Almost a miracle. How much harder, though, to desalinate the salt spring that James calls the human heart. The salt spring that feeds our tongues and potentially poisons, he says, the whole course of our lives. Because here's the thing. James says the problem is, doesn't matter who you are, the problem is Whenever we let out an unguarded word, it always seems to end badly, doesn't it? A little bit on the tipsy side at the staff Christmas party, you say what you really think. Or the early onset dementia, perhaps. Or the brain tumour or the stroke that just disinhibits your speech centre. And who knows what you'll say? The fact is, there is very little chance that it's going to be nice, that it's going to be peacemaking. The worry for all of us is that a momentary slip up of the tongue gives everyone a glimpse of what we're really like, of the salty spring within. And for desalinating that spring, there is no easy biotech solution. That's the ultimate problem with the tongue that James is unpacking here in chapter 3. The untamable wild beast that licks like a flame between our lips. The tongue we moan about when we say, me and my big mouth, I've done it again. The tongue we so often wish we'd bitten and held back. The ultimate problem with the tongue is that it so quickly reveals our hearts. So James says, think twice before you become a teacher in the church, because teachers use words, and words are a dangerous weapon. Because he says we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone doesn't stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, she's a perfect woman, able to bridle their whole body. Now, I don't know what you'd have in mind as the perfect man. Leonardo drew him, Vitruvian man, ideal proportions of the human form, only improved, if you can see the image on the screen, by the addition of a rock guitar. In the movie called The Perfect Man, Hilary Duff is looking for the perfect partner for her single mum, someone who'll send flowers and love notes and always be thoughtful and reliable. Complicated movie, but they all live happily ever after. The perfect man, great looking, Dwayne Johnson muscles, smart and funny, rich, of course. James says it's the man who can perfectly control his tongue. Because if you can do that, he says, you can bridle your whole body. You'll be a person of absolute self-control. Which, of course, James says, is a very big ask. Because, as you'll see, of that even bigger problem, the salt spring that by nature lies inside all of us. And so he goes on to expand, and this is something that James does so beautifully. The way he writes is full of colour. To expand on the way the tiny tongue has such disproportionate impact. Like a bit, he says, in the mouth of a horse. Small bit, big horse. Turn left for Ballarat, right for Bairnsdale. The slightest twitch on the bit. Or ships, he says, with a tiny rudder. Take a look at his words in verse 4. He says, look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they're guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. The disproportionate impact of a tiny tongue making a big boast that can lead to a world of disagreement and division and disappointment. You know, we used to say as kids, sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Brave talk, wasn't it? But wrong. Words can do more damage than sticks and rocks any day. Now, I'm not planning to read Prince Harry's autobiography, but I guess we're hearing most of it secondhand in the media anyway. But let me just say, If Charles really did laugh at Harry as a little boy and say, "Who knows if I'm even your real father?" If he really said that, no wonder Harry's a broken man. And if the whole thing eventually brings down the monarchy, maybe it will all come down to those words so long ago. Words. James again, verse 5 and 6. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. An ink stain, spreading everywhere, ruining everything. The fire that starts as a cigarette butt out the car window and ends up burning the whole east coast of Australia from top to bottom. The tongue, says James here, is like a cosmos in its own right, a world of wickedness, ruining lives, as if it has a life of its own, sparked by the fires of hell. Boy, he's pretty dark, isn't he? A little bit, a little rudder, always steering into trouble. A fire, a world of pain, a stain. There's more. James stacks image on top of image. It's worse, he says, than a wild animal. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil, full of deadly poison. We are so smart, so superior, that we can tame almost everything. Every kind of animal, except, of course, cats, I reckon. Because cats, as you know, tame us. Dog is man's best friend. Cat is man's casual acquaintance. But okay, apart from cats, James says, we've tamed lions and eagles, snakes and dolphins, but we can't tame the tongue. It's untamable, it's tireless, it's evil, it's full of deadly poison. No human being can tame it, he says, which is where in verses 9 and 10, James starts to get practical and move from imagery and metaphor to some real life situations, which reflect what we'd call, I guess, real life hypocrisy. That in the concrete real life situation James is writing to, there are people who in the one breath are giving lip service blessings to God, and in the next breath with the same mouth calling down unbridled curses on other people. People who are made in God's image. From the same mouth, says James, what's going on? With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, these things ought not to be so. Now, friends, can I ask you this morning, is that ever true of you? Look, to be honest, James says it is true of all of us. And it is the symptom of that deeper issue I mentioned at the start. It's the fact that none of us can completely control our tongues because they are fed from a salt spring. From, as our Bible tends to call it, the heart, the seat of our inner desires. Listen to how Jesus puts it in Mark's Gospel. He's being questioned about ceremonial washing, which the Jews had to do before every meal in case you ate with unclean hands. It's all about the externals. It's Mark 7 from verse 15. Jesus says, "Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, It's what comes out of a person that defiles them. He says, for it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person. Which is why you see our unguarded tongues are so dangerously revealing. Now, is James too negative? It's interesting, if you're a little bit of a techie person, you might remember way back in 2016, Microsoft released a really clever chatbot that used artificial intelligence to engage in conversations with people on Twitter, learning as millions of people interacted with it, learning the kind of things people say and think, and reflecting that back as automatically generated messages. Do you know, within 24 hours, Microsoft had to ditch the experiment, shut it down completely, because it was parroting back racist and sexist hate speech. And so right at the moment, ChatGPT, you might have heard about it, everyone's talking about it on the news, the new automated text generator that can patch together information on the internet and automatically write your uni essays. Platforms like ChatGPT have to spend a fortune on systems that filter out racism, that filter out the hate speech, to protect us from what? The reflection of ourselves. So what are we really like? Artificial intelligence like that averages out everything on the internet and comes out sprouting hate speech. Because the tongue or the keyboard fingers are a restless evil full of deadly poison. Blessing and cursing in the same breath. Growing olives and figs on the same vine. Who'd have thought? So here's the bottom line. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. See, the answer is no. A spring doesn't do that. No, a fig tree doesn't do that, nor a grapevine. And no, a salt pond does not yield fresh water. In short, we are really weird. And it shouldn't be. So how can we desalinate the pond? Short of calling my mate Lee and his biotech engineers, short of implementing AI filters on everything we say or write. In fact, no amount of tech is going to help. Because when the bitterness comes right from the heart, from the centre of who we are, from the essence of the human condition, the problem is profound. What are we meant to do about it? So here are the symptoms. Here's the source, verse 14. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, don't boast and be false to the truth. The bitterness, the jealousy, it starts, as you can see, in our hearts, where we constantly compare ourselves with the people around us and we're not satisfied. We're selfish, we're ambitious, we're resentful. Our hearts tell us we're not being treated with the respect we deserve as the most important person in the room. And the next thing you know, it pours out our mouths. Then trouble. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. Friends, that is sadly so often how it is. From William and Harry in the royal family, all the way back to Cain and Abel in the first family, all the way to your family on a weekend or over the fence with your neighbour or in your workplace on a Monday morning. unless God does something supernatural in our hearts, which is the prospect that James wants to draw our attention to. The prospect that starts, as we saw back in chapter 1, with what James calls the implanted word that's able to save your souls. It starts, you might remember if you've been here the past few weeks, with that call to put your faith actively in the Lord Jesus, who James calls the Lord of mercy, whose royal law is the law of love. Not just lip service, but life service. Real allegiance. Okay, it's stretching things a little bit, but James is talking about, you see, the implanted word which is able to desalinate our hearts, which was something that the nation of Israel had been looking forward to for generations as they struggled and failed to master their hearts. The Old Testament prophet Ezekiel had made a long-standing promise that the day would come when God would act to clean up human hearts. Here's how Ezekiel puts it. God says, "I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleannesses and from all your idols." He says, "I will cleanse you, and I will give you new hearts, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes." Friends, this is the profound benefit, the promise at the center of our Christian faith that makes all the difference. That it's not about keeping a bunch of rules and commands that struggle to constrain our bitter hearts. But it's about as loyal subjects of King Jesus being gradually transformed by a whole new spirit, a whole new attitude, a whole new wisdom that James calls the wisdom from above, which instead of breeding bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, produces the exact opposite. Verse 14. Bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts. That's not wisdom from above. That's unspiritual, says James. Verse 17, he says, "But have the wisdom from above instead. Heart desalination. Pure," he says, "peaceable, gentle, open to reason." Total opposite to our natural inclination. Full of mercy and good fruits, impartial. Remember chapter 1? Impartiality. Not favouring certain people on the basis of their bank balance or their gold ring. It takes heart change for that, the wisdom from above. And he says a sincerity. So you're solid all the way through. James says a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace like that. Blessed are the peacemakers, says Jesus. Saltwater hearts sowing arguments and division, or hearts being changed by the Spirit, transformed by the wisdom from above, bringing peace. Which is it with you? Which is it that you want it to be? Which is it that is going to typify our attitudes to one another as a church? Louise always says to me, if I eat too much chocolate, what starts on your lips ends on your hips. Now this goes the other way. See, salt springs from salty hearts. When we're like that, it starts in our hearts and ends up on our lips, whether we like it or not, no matter how we try to hold it in. Out pops the most revealing word at the worst possible time. The The problem is, because of the way we're made, it's just about impossible to bridle our tongues if your heart has not been bridled first, desalinated, being made fresh through the seed of that implanted word, growing by the work of God's Spirit in our hearts. Now, it occurs to me to say, if you want to catch up and talk personally more about that, if that's a change you want to see in your heart, feel free to get in touch. Message me through the QR code on the contact card, and I'd love to catch up in person and chat more. But for now, let's join in prayer. Lord God, we know that by nature our hearts lean to selfish pride, and our lips are inclined to cause dissent and division. Move in us by your Spirit, we pray, that as we ally ourselves with the Lord Jesus, our hearts, our words, our lives might indeed be transformed into his image. And we pray in his name. Amen. We're going to sing a song of praise now. It's called We Sing the Praise of Him Who Died, of Him Who Died Upon the Cross. Let's stand and sing together.
Can I thank you again for joining us here at Scott's this morning? Again, refreshments will be served in the Westpac building behind me. Please do stay and join us there for a cuppa. We'd love to see you there. And now may grace, mercy and peace from God the Father, God the Son and God the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forevermore. Amen.